Hello and welcome back. This is James speaking, and what we're going to do in this particular session is make sure, first of all, we got the black marker, and we're going to be talking again about my favorite joint ventures. And specifically, what is it? You know, when I first started out selling, one of the things that I, one of the departments they had was a BD department. One of the first companies I worked for in sales. You want to get into something called business development. You want to get into business development. Well, there's a term that you might hear, business development. You might hear another term called alliances. You want to form an alliance or a business alliance. Now, I'm writing these down because in your particular, I don't know what business you're in. I'm going to suggest that obviously that I'm focusing this a little bit more on how you can do joint venture internet deals and how you can build your business using joint ventures. And these strategies, when someone talks about, you know, a business development department or forming an alliance or a business alliance, these are things that you might consider to be a form of joint venture, but they're not the ones that I'm looking at. Most of these have a couple of requirements, and that's why I want you to understand the requirements before you get into any of these kind of arrangements. When anyone's talking about business development, alliances, business alliances, there's always a time frame that they're looking to do that and a cost. And there's a cost to both parties. And I think that's one of the keys. You have to understand that in any of these, there's a number of parties involved. So if you hear someone, you know, do you want to form a joint alliance or do a business development deal or form a business alliance, I don't think they're really talking about something called a joint venture. Because when I think about a joint venture, some of the requirements that I use, now you don't have to use them, but the ones that I use is that there's going to be no cash outlay. There's no cash outlay. So it doesn't require that you have to pay to get into the arrangement. It doesn't require that the other party has to pay to get into the arrangement. That's not a joint venture at all. So there's going to be no cash outlay. The other thing you have to understand is that the timing. When I'm talking about a joint venture, I'm talking about doing something now, today, tomorrow. If someone's talking about a business development or alliance, business alliance, what they're often talking about is forming something over a long period where you're actually maybe doing some other work together, either on a contract basis or non-contract basis, and in fact you're going after, now this is understand that, something important here. Most of these deals, no clients are existing. And what does that mean? Well, in my idea of joint ventures, there is a set of assets that the parties bring to the table, and in general, one of them already is or has clients. See, the goal of a joint venture deal that I'm thinking of is, remember we talked about three different ways to grow your business? Remember the three ways? The first one was more clients. That's the one we're focusing on. If I'm entering into a joint venture with someone, there's only a couple reasons that I do it. The joint venture is to get one of those three things: more clients, a bigger average sale, or to increase the number of times that they buy. When people are talking about business development and forming a business alliance, what they're often doing is trying to combine so that they both can get new clients. And that's the focus of them. When you see business development, you often see business alliances from two people that don't have clients that are trying to get clients. And I think that's a poor way to do joint ventures, unless there's a very, very strong reason that combining the two companies or the two products or the two technologies or the two offerings is actually going to create a buzz in the market. But in most cases, it doesn't. What I find is that when people are trying to do a joint venture, but they don't have any customers, they have to have something else other than customers to bring in to make the joint venture or the business alliance or the business development project worthwhile. So in my joint ventures, just remember, no cash outlay. It doesn't require any money to do. The timing is now, and that one of the parties has strong asset clients. And we're going to talk about some assets shortly, but understand, joint venture is for, number one, getting clients, number two, increasing the average amount of the sale, or number three, getting them to purchase more often. Now, where do these combinations come from? Well, think about this for a second. Notice I use the word combination, a combination. A combination is a grouping or putting together of something that results in more than what you started with. So think about this for a second. If you've seen this, 1 + 1 = 2. Okay, that's a combination. But in fact, it's not necessarily a win-win combination. It's a static combination. If I put one in, my partner puts one in, and we only get two, we've got a split 50-50, and in fact, we haven't gained anything. So you're looking at a combination where you've got to have 1 + 1 = a minimum of 3. Now, why is that? This is just a split. This becomes win-win. Now notice we have two partners. There's always two parties. A minimum of two parties in a joint venture. It's always win-win. It has to be win-win. If it's not win-win, they won't work. They won't ever work. No one will put the effort in. Now, the other interesting thing, I got 1 + 1 = 3, but in fact, the best kind are 1 + 1 = 100, or 1,000, or 10,000. Now, why is that? Now, I want you to think about that. Remember when we talked about search engines and the traditional ways to generate business? If you had only a 1 + 1 = 3, but you had to put a lot of effort or work into managing that relationship with someone, and you were only getting a tiny result out, is it worthwhile to you? No, it's not. So you've got to make sure that you look for a joint venture which has a big payoff in the end. And what I'm going to do in this situation is we're going to talk about the payoffs, but I'm going to think of it in this way. Because I focused on traffic, I'm going to suggest that one of the parties already has clients / traffic. See, in fact, the clients and the traffic for that particular party is what they have as an asset. That's their asset. And in fact, what they do is they want to do something called leverage. They want to leverage the fact that they have a large number of traffic or clients already. Okay? Now the other party, they're going to have something else, another asset. They're going to have an asset here that perhaps someone is missing up here. Okay? So we'll use some examples and where these combinations and stuff come from. Now, what I'll do is I'll give you one example of a traditional one. And we'll look at some different ways or how to structure it, different kinds that you can have. But think about this for a second. Here's a common one that you find with internet marketers. Someone has a large email list because they've got a newsletter with 100,000 subscribers. They've got a whole bunch of subscribers, but maybe they don't have any new product. They don't have a new product. So we've got party A, party B. Someone with subscribers, someone with a new product. Person with a new product doesn't have a large list of customers, but they have a brand new in-demand product. Someone who's got a large amount of subscribers, they're in a position where maybe they've got a large number of subscribers, they want to bring some extra value to them. So what do they want to do? They want to combine the two or leverage the two so that who wins? A wins, B wins, but also the client wins. The third group is the client. So we've got a triple win situation. And what each of these parties has done is taken something that they have, an asset, and they've leveraged it or combined it with another party to create something that adds value for everyone involved. And I'm suggesting that instead of just a small split, you've got to make sure that there's a payoff in the end for everyone involved. Now, what we'll do is I'll give you a couple of... Now, where do these combinations come from, you might be asking? I can't figure this kind of stuff out. Where am I going to combine some ideas like this to have it happen? Well, think about this. I was reading an article by Jay Abraham, and it was, I think it's from a book that he's just got coming out, and he was talking a little bit about combinations and where they come from. Well, there's all sorts of different places to look for combinations. And you can look in other industries for combinations. And I'll give you an example. One was RE/MAX. Now, RE/MAX is a real estate franchise. And most real estate franchises, the way they worked was that they took part of the commission. A regular one took a percentage of the commission on each sale. And what RE/MAX did is it looked at how some other franchises worked and said, you know what, I'm not going to do it that way. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to do a flat fee per agent. So in fact, I'm going to be renting space, services, and supply. A different model applied to make RE/MAX, I believe at the it might still be the number one real estate franchise in the world today. So they took a different model from a different industry and added it or combined it. Another one that you can think of is the FedEx model. Now, if you've ever done any banking, what happens when you write a check, goes to a central location where all the checks, so each of the branches sends their checks into a central area where they're processed, and then the checks go back out. Now there's a banking model. When it looks at the delivery model, what happened for delivery at the time was instead of using that hub and spoke model that the banking did, deliveries, they had someone who was organizing stuff, and they basically it was just a big pizza, and they were trying to coordinate, you know, this goes to here, goes to there, goes to over there, but it goes to there and back. And they were trying to manage all that, an absolute mess. So what Fred Smith does, he said, you know what, I'm going to take the banking model and I'm going to combine it with the shipping model. And in fact, what he did is he did the hub and spoke model, similar to banking, but he did it with packages, where all of the packages went to a place in Tennessee, I believe, Nashville, or someplace in this, Nashville, if I'm not mistaken. And then what happens is they ship them back out to the city. So he took a different combination, and of course, you know the FedEx story. All of these combinations come and add tremendous value by changing the existing way things are done. Now, this is your job. You're going to have to think about how you can put together a couple of pieces here. And I want you to do a little bit of homework in this particular section before we get into a lot more detail. What I want you to do is I want you to think of, what do you have as an asset? Now, I know I haven't explained these yet, but I want you to think about them before I explain them. So what assets do you have? How can you leverage them? And what can you combine? What but who can you combine with that's going to provide value to both parties? So take the time right now, just write down on a couple things that you think that you have as assets. What do you think that you have as assets in your business? The other next thing is, how could you leverage those? What makes those leverageable? How can you take that asset, combine it with someone or something to create more value? So take 5 minutes right now. I'm going to stop the session and just write down on a piece of paper, put the word asset down just like that, and write down all the assets that you think you have. And in the next section, what we'll do is actually go and define and show some examples of how assets can be used, what kind of assets there are, and how they can be leveraged. So take the time right now, stop the session, get a piece of paper, and write down assets. And if you do this one thing and understand and get your head wrapped around your assets, this is the real key to forming joint ventures. This is James Maduke speaking. We'll be back in a second.